thank you, President McDonald. Also, my Aunt Linda. So I thank you for that introduction. And I just want to thank Bishop Cajot for thinking of me and choosing me. It's such an honor to be chosen to share this word on tonight. He gave me the verses Luke 23:39-43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And yet we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." For one moment, I want you to imagine paradise. What are you feeling? Smelling? Tasting? Seeing? How's the weather? Now, what if I told you God's version of paradise is at least 1,000 times better? Paradise is our ultimate reward. It's exactly where we're supposed to be. We as Christians build our lives, what we say, what we do, where we go, with the assumption that paradise is where we're going to end up, that we will one day meet our maker. In John 14:1-3, Jesus says, "Let us not our hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also." In that passage, Jesus is letting us know that God literally built a house, and there's a room with our name on it. And I don't know about you, but that sounds better than any beach, mountain, or resort I can even imagine. God is greater than any and everything that we can imagine, and I want to experience paradise with him. Now, I was, and still am, a very inquisitive person. I question everything. I feel sorry for my parents because I ask them 1,000 questions a day about how the world works, why this engine looked like this, why did we choose this paint color. I'm not trying to undermine. I genuinely want to know. And as I read this passage, there are three questions that crossed my mind that I want to share with you all tonight. First, I want you to imagine being the robber, hanging next to Jesus, realizing that your life was full of harming other people. You realize that you're in your last moment, so you decide to give it a shot. What do you have to lose? The Savior is right next to you. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The robber is essentially saying, this is my last shot at reaching that paradise we imagined earlier. I am most impressed by the fact that the criminal recognized God in the midst of where he was, and we can too. No matter how far we believe we've gone, in our darkest moments, we can still see God. He realizes that Jesus is Jesus above all that he has done. He heard the stories of how Jesus healed and how he delivered and how he set free. This criminal knew who Jesus was. It only took a moment for him to recognize and choose the Savior of the world. Romans 6:23 reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We see that in our scripture today. One criminal chooses death by mocking Jesus, and the other chooses the free gift of paradise that comes through Jesus. So my first question was, will I choose a free gift of eternal life every day? Romans reminds us that it is a gift, but with every good gift, you have to accept it. So in my daily practices, will I choose to be disciplined? In my relationships, will I choose patience? Will I choose grace? In my walk with God, will I choose obedience? Will I choose to receive this gift? When we take a look back at the scripture, we look at Jesus hanging on the cross for our sins and transgressions. He is completing his assignment. He came to live a sinless life and die for us so that we can have that same paradise we imagined at the beginning. And yet and still, in his weakest moment, he chooses to bless someone else. He says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't rattle off all the things the criminal had done. He didn't tell the criminal he wasn't worthy because he was acting so late in life. In that moment, Jesus made a decision to bless this criminal. Jesus never stopped loving and blessing others. Luke 5:32 tells us that Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." We see that in this passage. In Mark 10:45, it tells us, For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We see that in this passage. And finally, in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." In his last moment, Jesus was imperfect. The second question I had while reading was, who will I choose to bless? If Jesus is our model for life on earth, I have no excuse. What will I put on the back burner to give to others? Jesus could have easily said, "Sir, we're dying. Please stop talking to me." But with the little strength he had left after being beaten all night long for you and me, he chose to bless this man. A man by some of our standards wasn't even worth saving. Jesus took the time to see this man, to love this man, to give of himself in yet another way. We complain that we have to drive to the other side to pick up some other side of town to pick up someone for church. And here Jesus is intentionally choosing to bless with his last breath. And my last question I had as reading this passage is, who will I share it with? Verses 40 and 41 say, "But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God? Since you are on the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing.'" Whether we recognize it or not, this man is sharing a form of the gospel. Simply, we are sinners. Jesus lived a perfect life. Can you imagine the grace and providence of God in this moment? To be dying for your sins you committed and hear the gospel. To hear that this Savior, Jesus, is dying so you don't have to. He's choosing death so you don't have to. He's taking your place, and he should not be played with. I love that the question the robber says, "Do you not fear God?" As a marker of letting the other robber know that this man, this Jesus, is connected to the source that is all-powerful and should not be mocked. This criminal took time to not only ask for his own salvation, but attempted to share it with someone else. In this passage, I'm wondering, would I have done the same? During this time of remembrance and consecration, I want you to remember that we are on earth to complete an assignment, that God asks that you not only choose him, but share this gift with others. So as you think upon paradise, the home that God has prepared for us, I want to ask you, will you choose eternal life? Who will you choose to bless? And who will you share it with? Let's pray. So, God, I just thank you for the revelation that came through this passage, God. I pray right now that every heart is pricked, that during this season, as we are giving of ourselves, as we are sacrificing food or social media or whatever you shall ask us to sacrifice, God, that we focus on the message. And the message that Jesus came to die for our sins and that we are to share it with others. So I pray that is our focus for the continue of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.